And I know the owners are out there. They're slammed. They're looking at the next investment. They're trying to get the big dollars, right? They're buying multi-million dollar properties. So maybe $100,000 isn't as important as a couple million dollar acquisition. But to the point you made earlier, that increase in NOI when you go to refinance or sell has a multi-million dollar value.
Welcome to How to Buy Giant Apartment Buildings, the number one show about growing your family's wealth with apartment building investments. Now, here's your host, Mark Allen Kenny.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to How to Buy Giant Apartment Buildings. I'm Mark Allen Kenny. Our guest today is Kevin Gardner. How you doing today, Kevin?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. Thank you for being here. So Kevin is the president of Multifamily Utility Solutions. His company helps multifamily property owners increase NOI through leveraging their cable and internet access rights. Kevin has spent nearly 20 years with Comcast, and today he helps owners increase their cash flow and the value of their properties. So Kevin, I'm really excited to speak with you today. Thank you for taking the time to be on the show. Could you tell the listeners just a little bit about your background and how you got started in this business?
Yeah, thanks so much, Mark. I appreciate the introduction. So, I worked for many years for Comcast. So I started off actually in door-to-door sales and just kind of, when the industry was small and had numerous opportunities to grow and got involved in what Comcast at that time called commercial development, which was the team that negotiated the property with the property owners for access to their buildings. So we got to know a lot about that. Over time, I decided that I wanted to start my own business and get more on the entrepreneurial side instead of big corporate America. Nothing against big corporate America. We do a lot of business with them. But just for me, it was more the entrepreneurial. And we actually worked for Comcast and Charter Spectrum. They were two of our first clients. And then over time, they decided that instead of having third parties negotiate with owners, they would have their own people do it. So we were already at the negotiating table. So we said, you know what? Why not just slide over to the other side? And that's kind of how we came to this position in the marketplace.
Got it. That makes sense. So it sounds like, just to recap, you were working on behalf of Comcast to negotiate these contracts on the behalf of Comcast, and then saw an opportunity to change places, get on the other side of the negotiating table, and now you are negotiating on the behalf of owners. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, awesome. Well, can you kind of give the listener an overview of kind of what that means and how those conversations go and what you're trying to accomplish when you're negotiating on the behalf of an owner?
Sure. So as we discussed before, the most common objection to our service I get is somebody that says, I don't pay for the cable service or the internet service for my residents, so I don't need a contract. And, that's kind of a misconception, right? So let's take, let's take Indianapolis, right? Nice in the center of the country there. Comcast is a service provider there. And Indianapolis has given Comcast a non-exclusive franchise to operate. What that gives them right to is the public easements. That's it. And for that, they pay a franchise fee. Now, let's say, Mark, you're a homeowner in Indianapolis and you want to subscribe to Comcast service. When you sign that work order, you're giving them permission to be on your property. So let's take it a step further. Let's say you own a 100-unit apartment property in Indianapolis and I'm one of your residents. Let's say I go to Comcast and say, I want service at my residence. I don't have the authority to grant them the right to be on your personal property as the property owner. So there's an extra step in the multifamily world where you actually have to grant the right for Comcast to be on your property to provide service to me and the other residents in your property. And that has value, right? Because without your permission to be there, that's 100 units that Comcast wouldn't have access to that has value. And we help you as the multifamily property owner realize the value, fair value for that. And having been on the other side of the table, we know what's fair because they don't just give away money just for the sake of being nice and be like, hey, Mark, here, here's a suitcase full of money. I mean, they look at it as a business decision as well. Okay, if I'm getting access to 100 customers and I already have, you know, a certain number of customers there, what's the value? What can I afford to give? Obviously, if they've got 90 customers out of 100, it's a greater value for them than if they have 10 customers out of 100 units.
Sure, sure. Can you walk us through maybe a case study or an example? I know this stuff is nuanced and every market is different, but kind of just a range of what a possible value might be for an exclusive provider cable contract.
Yeah, let me first of all clarify, it's not for exclusive right to provide.
Okay.
Okay, so when you're doing a contract with them, it might be for the exclusive right to use the wiring or some of the wiring in there, or exclusive marketing. But you are not, by signing one of these agreements, kicking anybody that's already on your property off there. So if AT&T is there and Comcast is there and you sign an exclusive marketing agreement with Comcast, that doesn't mean that anybody that has AT&T service can no longer have it. So signing these agreements is really transparent to your residents, to the consumer. They wouldn't know whether you signed one of these or whether you didn't. So that's a big advantage, because people are always worried about that. Because let's face it, multifamily world, right? What's the number one most important thing? Occupied units. So if we're doing anything that limits your ability to fill those units, then that's a bad thing. And so that's why it's important for me to point out that this does not in any way have a bad experience for any of your residents.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Okay.
Okay. And then back to the value question as far as what's a typical contract.
You notice how I was trying to duck that one, right? Because, it's just such a range. It really is. There are so many variables. It's like when you go to buy an apartment complex, right? I mean, what's the fair price per unit? It varies. It varies by market. It varies by class. It varies by a lot of factors. And the same thing is true with the cable contracts. If you're in a very rural area where you have 50-unit property and there's no other competitors besides one cable company out there, and maybe it's a class C or D property where they don't have that many customers, in some cases, we'll be lucky to get anything for that. Because you don't really have a lot of options and there's not a lot of value to them for signing an agreement. They don't have much to give you. You go to a major metropolitan area where there's multiple cable options, cable and internet options, and you own a 500 unit property, A-class property, there's significant value there, right? So that's why, I mean, it can go from zero. We've had people say that it's not worth it. If you went with somebody else, that'd be fine, but we don't know who you'd go with, you know? To, yeah, let's give you a couple $100 and a piece of the revenue and things like that. So a couple $100 per unit and a piece of the revenue. So, you know, that's why it's such a tough question to answer, you know, just as a general rule. And that's why the first thing we do when we talk to somebody new is ask a lot of questions and find out more about their property or properties and what their goals are too. I mean, are you just acquiring this and you want to hold on to it for maybe 2 years, fix it up or 3 years and flip it? Or is this a long-term investment where you want the recurring revenue that goes with revenue share to improve an ongoing NOI versus a one-time lump sum payment?
Right. Okay. So when you said a couple $100 a unit, is that per month or per year, one time, reoccurring? What's kind of the structure of that?
Yeah, so there's three different ways to kind of do this. There is what's known as a one-time upfront door fee or signing bonus. And what that is just at the time you sign the agreement, within 90 days, you're giving a flat rate per door. That's a one-time fee paid within 90 days. So simple example, 100 doors, $100, $10,000, boom, that's what you're going to get that payment within 90 days. Then there's ongoing revenue share, which is exactly what it sounds like, right? They're going to share revenue with you. It's going to be, it's basically a commission for helping them. And when you have exclusive marketing, that's a good thing. That way, you know, you're exclusively marketing Comcast or Spectrum or Cox Communications or Suddenlink, whoever that is, right? You're exclusively marketing them, and then you're getting paid an increased amount of the revenue because you're helping them grow their business. So you kind of tied together, and that's paid out quarterly within 45 days, typically at the end of the quarter, and it's based on a sliding scale. The higher the percentage of customers you get, the higher the percentage of the revenue you get. Now, those two things can be combined so that you can get kind of an upfront payment, but also ongoing revenue share. And we're seeing more and more of that hybrid model.
Got it. And then was there a third? Did you say there were three?
There is a third, and that's what's called a bulk agreement. Mm-hmm. And right before COVID, it was really gaining momentum. It really kind of slowed down, and now there's more interest. And it is a good solution for some properties, but not for all. And that's, again, why we ask the questions we do at the beginning to find out which solution may be best for you. And basically what it is where you buy service in bulk. So you're buying for all 100 units, you're providing them with an amenity. You're providing them with cable TV or internet or both. You're buying it at a reduced rate. Cable companies love this because then they've got one customer. They're not sending trucks out back and forth to hook people up. They're not chasing collections or anything like that. So for them, this reduces the operational costs for them to provide the service, and it gets them in more homes. So it's a win for them. And in exchange for that, they pass on to you some of that savings. What you can then do is either do an amenities rider to your lease, or when you renew leases, as you convert over to bulk, you may increase. Let's say you're buying these services for $50. You may increase your rent by $75 because the perceived value of these is $100 maybe. So yeah, while you may have you may be charging $575 for rent, and the property next door may be charging $500 or $525, yours includes internet and cable, so there's a perceived value that it's $100. So you're actually cheaper all in for those customers, those residents that would want that service.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. That's awesome.
Now the downside to that is you are obligated to that agreement for 100% of your units, regardless of whether or not the resident, the unit is occupied, regardless of whether or not the resident wants that service or uses that service. So there is some trade-off there, and it's a little bit of a risk, but if it's done right, it can be some additional revenue upside.
Yeah, nice. That makes sense. So I'm very curious on the second kind of option that you mentioned, kind of the revenue share, and the reason I'm mainly interested in that is because as operators, as investors, what we're trying to do all the time is increase NOI. So, you know, with any small increases in NOI, that's going to affect the value of the property. I've got a partner I work with in Indianapolis. They had a larger complex there. They did a revenue share agreement and were able to basically increase the value of the property by over $1 million. You know, if you can increase NOI, what, $60,000 a year and with a 6 cap, that's basically $1 million increase in value. So I'm curious, from what you're seeing in different markets on the revenue share side, what should we be negotiating for? If we were to work with you, what would be kind of a common range for one of these markets where there is competition, Comcast or the cable company that you're speaking with is willing to negotiate, willing to kind of play ball to get some of these agreements signed? What's kind of a typical range for a revenue share?
Well, you know, again, it gets back to, because it's a sliding scale, right? So let's say you've only got 20 customers out of 100 units that take service. You may only get 2% of the revenue. Whereas if you've got the 80, you may get 8% of the revenue. So not only are you getting 4 times the number of residents that have service, you're getting 4 times the amount of the revenue. So it's really what? Quadruple, right?
Right.
So a huge impact. And we saw this because we help clients when they get their revenue share checks. Sometimes they'll have questions and they'll say, hey, what happened? This dropped or you know, what do we do? Is this right? And we'll see when they go from one threshold level to the other, there can be a significant difference. And that's why the exclusive marketing is tied to the revenue share, because, you know, that they want you to exclusive and you want to exclusively market them. The other thing you can do that I've seen some owners do is dishes, for example. You know, when you buy a property, you know, there may be dishes there and you may not want them on your property for aesthetic reasons, for maintenance reasons, for all kinds of reasons. But this adds to it as well, because if you say, look, our property, we don't want dishes on here, then that option is no longer available to the resident. Therefore, we've seen a positive impact in cable subscribers. You know, so there's a lot of different things you can do. If you do an event, you can invite Spectrum or Comcast to that event. If you can put up point of purchase materials. And it also has to do with how aggressive your or how helpful or how diligent your leasing agents are. When somebody new is moving in, hey, you know, we strongly recommend Spectrum or Comcast or whoever it is as the provider. We've got most of our residents here have that service. Here's how you get in touch with them. And if they're diligent about that, then that helps as well.
Got it. Is it illegal to have one provider, or is it, is it back to the what you were saying about we just care about occupancy first and then the cable provider a second?
It's your property, right? So we typically don't do that, don't encourage that. So because you'd be taking one out that's already there. And if you're marketing, and most of the times we go with the one that has the superior service anyhow.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, DSL doesn't compare to cable. And if you've already got residents, you know, how do you pull the plug on one, right? So let's say you've already got occupancy where out of those 100 people, maybe 60 of them have Spectrum or Comcast and 40 of them have AT&T or something like that. I mean, how do you tell those other 40 that they no longer can have the service that they, you know, it gets pretty dicey in situations like that. And there are, in some states, it also is what's called open access. So in some states, it is not an option.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. That makes sense. So I also wanted to touch on, you know, the other things that your company is doing. It seems like in 2017, you guys kind of expanded and now you're doing utility brokerage as well. Could you speak to that a little bit and just how that's similar and you know, what that service entails?
So when we started the company, Telecom Marketing Strategies was the name of the company and still is the name of our parent company. Multifamily Utility Solutions is a DBA. And because we were doing only stuff in the telecom world and only stuff representing like Comcast and Spectrum. So that name made sense at the time. Over time, as we developed relationships and networked really well, we had a lot of our residents or our clients be like, well, what else can you do? What else can you, you know, can you help us out with other things? And so we evolved. And now while we don't personally do it, we have partner companies or colleagues that do. For example, electricity and gas. In some states, those are deregulated. In other states, they're not. Like Tennessee Valley Authority, it's a regulated state. There's no option to kind of bid out your electric rates. Ohio, we can do that. So we've got a broker that we have an affiliation agreement with, and anybody in those states or in those markets where electric is deregulated, we get invoices from them and we have our broker go ahead and negotiate rates to see if they can lower that rate for the consumer. Now the challenge is there is, you know, it's all about leverage, right? Everything in this world is about leverage, right? So, you know, how much is your usage? I mean, you know, if you have two properties and one property has no pools, no workout room, the washer and dryers are in the units, you know, there's not going to be that much usage for that property. You got another 100 unit property that has pools, that has common areas, that has workout facilities, that has the washers and dryers in a common area or laundry room. Their usage, their expense for that is going to be greater. So we have greater leverage when we're talking to an electric company that's going to want that business as opposed to the other one. So that again is why each property is just a little bit different, you know, and that's why we really got to dig in and find out more. That's why, you know, there's some general rules, but it's hard for us to be really give you an answer until we get some questions answered.
Yeah, nice. That makes sense. So out of all the kind of options here, again, going back to kind of the scenario with, you know, focusing on NOI and increasing the value of the property, say someone wants to work with you, they just bought, 150 unit building in a great market. What's the first thing that they should look at? Is it a cable contract? Is it the water bill? What's kind of their number one focus? I know ideally they would do all of these things, right? But what's the kind of number one domino to knock down to increase that NOI?
Well, you know, I will tell you that ours is pretty simple, right? You just give us a little bit of basic information. We take it and we run with it. I know a lot of, you know, about it depends on your water. If you don't have a RUBS system in place and you've got a common water bill and you institute a RUBS, that's going to have a significant impact immediately. We have people that do submetering. We have people that are involved with solar. So we have those others, trash removal. But I would tell you that ours is pretty turnkey. So we're a good option. I would say that in most cases, what we found is the electric and gas is later down the road. If it's a large enough property or you have multiple properties, trash removal can be significant. But there again, it takes leverage. It takes volume to make that work. Whereas ours can work on 150 unit property, the trash removal may not.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah.
Nice. That makes sense. Do you have any advice for a operator to work with a company, not necessarily your company, but a company like yours? What should they be looking out for? Do some of these contracts have hidden fees in them? Or is there anything that, you know, asset managers and operators should be aware of before working with a utility broker or working with a third party to negotiate on their behalf?
You know, our agreement is 2 pages, so there's not a lot hidden in there. You know, when I left corporate America, one of my goals was to work with people that I like, trusted, and respected, and I don't want a 20-page agreement for the what ifs and all that kind of stuff. You know, I really don't want to make extra work for the sake of making extra work. Our fee structure is, you know, kind of says it all. We get paid when you get paid. And if we don't bring money to the table for you, we don't get paid. We don't get paid a retainer. We don't get paid an hourly rate. We don't, you know, we work commission only. And the more business you get us, the smaller that the percentage is, because we reward long-term relationships. So we've negotiated for contracts, and at the end of the deal, you know, somebody, you know, an owner's been like, you know what, we decide we're gonna sell this one off, so we're not gonna do a contract. Okay, we got paid nothing for it. You know what? We developed a good long-term relationship and we've done other business with that client. You know, a client, we just had a big client in Dallas, Texas. They've got close to 4,000 units now, and they just bought another, or they had close to 3,000. They bought a huge property. It already had a cable contract in there, but we did some of the cable contracts for and internet contracts for their other properties. So we helped them do the change of ownership with Spectrum to get the revenue share payments converted from the old owner to them. I mean, it took a few hours of our time and some emails back and forth, but we don't get anything for that. It's just, you know, we want the long-term relationship.
It's that time of the show for a segment called Best Deal, Worst Deal, where we talk about real estate transactions that you've done in the past so that others can learn from your knowledge and expertise. So Kevin, with that said, what's the best deal that you've done?
You know, I'm going to go back to the Dallas, Texas market. We had a client when we first got active in that market, and we can work in any market. You know, we just have more clients in some than we do others. But we had a client come to us with a 74 unit property. We went, we found out there was no agreement on that. And so we negotiated a rate based on 74 units. We really didn't get much for it, right? It was a low ball. It wasn't a low ball. It was fair for only 74 units. So the owner's like, you know what? I'm just going to wait. And so in the meantime, we went and we networked for other owners in that marketplace. And we went back and we added the 74 to several other owners' properties. And we went back and said, we are now negotiating on behalf of 1,500 units. And because of that, the previous offer was more than doubled by combining that in there. So the best offer was this guy, even though he had to wait a year, got a much better offer, and we got we expanded as well. So sometimes, and we will advise of this, we did the same thing in Louisville for a client. We will absolutely advise, if it's not a good deal, wait. And that's one of the questions we ask our clients early on. What are your goals for this market? So the guy in Louisville is like, look, here's a deal. Here's my first property. What can you do for me? And we asked him, what are your goals? Here's the offer. What are your goals? And he says, well, I'm looking at two other properties and I probably close on these if they go well in the next 6 months. Our advice to him was wait, have more leverage and wait. And that's what we did.
Awesome. For that first deal, the 74 units, could you give an example of maybe what the original offer was and what it ended up being?
The revenue share was basically the same because they've got kind of a within a certain parameters, it doesn't move much, if at all. The door fee was, I want to say 75 at first, and it went to 200.
Got it. Okay. Interesting. That's awesome.
I mean, not life-changing money, but worth the wait.
Yeah, for
sure. You're not, you wait a year and you if you gave somebody $75 today and said, wait a year and you get 200 instead, I'd wait a year.
Yeah. And you're saying per door, right? Just so everybody knows.
Correct.
Awesome. And then what would you say is the worst deal that you've done?
Yeah, I got to tell you, Mark, I'm trying to remember what I would consider a bad deal because we recommend you don't do a bad deal.
Right. And so the worst deal is no income. It's just, it's not the right time or this one doesn't make sense.
Okay. I can tell you one example. I had a client who we took a deal to and we presented it to him and he said, I don't have the time to work with this right now. And it was for a portfolio. And we estimated the value of it to be short-term door fee, probably close to $100,000 and long-term ongoing revenue share, probably another 100, 150. So almost $250,000. And they didn't have the time to do it. So I guess that to me would be, trust me, I'm not criticizing, I'm not questioning, they know their business. We present the offer and that's it. But if I'm looking at my time per hour,
right.
I got to believe that my time per hour, because it wouldn't take that much time, my hourly rate's not, $50,000 an hour.
Right.
So, yeah. So, there is a little bit of work that the owner has to do. We do need some documentation. We try and make it as turnkey as possible. And I know the owners are out there. They're slammed. They're looking at the next investment. They're trying to get the big dollars, right? They're buying multi-million dollar properties. So maybe $100,000 isn't as important as, a couple million dollar acquisition. But to the point you made earlier, that increase in NOI when you go to refinance or sell has a multi-million dollar value.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's really the important point here. I think this is something that investors should be aware of and an operator should definitely be aware of this. I mean, 100K, I mean, if you're talking about a property that's in a neighborhood, like a six cap asset class, I mean, that's $1.6 million in value that you're creating. So that person kind of walked away from that value creation. And maybe the cash flow wasn't that important to that person for whatever reason. But I think when you go ahead and make these decisions, every little bit helps. So if you're able to increase NOI 100 grand, when you go to sell or refi, just like you said, I mean, that's 1.6 or a little bit over 1.6 in value created. So I think that's the important point here for sure.
Right. And we do recognize, owners are busy and all that kind of stuff. And that's why we try and do our best to make this as turnkey as possible. One of the things that some of the cable companies want is an address list of every address in the property, right? So it's got to be in a certain format. But what we do is we just tell the owners, just send us your rent rolls. We'll convert it. We'll take the hour to convert it into the format they need. We'll delete the file. We're not getting proprietary information. Just give us the basics or handwrite it out real quick or send us a map. I've had maps come over of, this address and that address. And our team puts it together because we recognize that we're there to be of service to them to get these deals done. And we try and respect their time as much as possible and only ask for things when it's absolutely necessary. We get it from them.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, Kevin, we're just about out of time right now. Where can others go to, learn more about your company and connect with you and hopefully even work with you on their own properties?
Yeah, multifamilyutilitysolutions.com is our website. We've got a lot of additional information on there with regard to the electric and the gas. The deregulated markets are listed on there. So, and they can just send me an email at kevin@multifamilyutilitiesolutions.com. Love to schedule calls. You know, I talk to several people each day that are new and just want some information. It's never too early in the process. We get involved before people even own properties because we can do some background investigation. And even though you would think in due diligence that cable contracts would show up, you'd be surprised how many times old cable contracts exist and the owner three times ago, you know, three sales ago had it and didn't get it to the, or cable companies sell from one to the other and somebody has it and the other person doesn't. So yeah, that's, I would say it's never too early.
Awesome. I love it. And remember guys, there's no upfront fees. So Kevin and his team are working on your behalf. They're negotiating on your behalf and they don't get paid until you get paid. So I highly recommend reaching out to Kevin and just starting the conversation. Kevin, thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate you taking the time and have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show.
Hey, everybody. It's Mark Allen Kenny. If you're interested in apartment building investments, schedule a call with me so we can have a chance to chat. My company is focused on growing your family's wealth with apartment building investments. So let's hop on a quick call and talk about your investment goals and see if we're a good fit. Find out more at stellarinvestmentgroup.com.